This is WUOT. I'm Chrissy Kuiper. What does religion have to do with international development? Catherine Marshall has studied this question for decades. She worked at the World Bank from 1971 to 2006 on development issues in Africa, Latin America, East Asia, and the Middle East, and led the agency's Faith and Ethics Initiative. Marshall spoke with us about how religion and development work together.
Well, if you go back into ancient history, in many ways, religion and social progress, but also religion and services like education and health, were essentially the same thing. But in the post-World War II period, particularly, there was a remarkable separation that meant that many people who were working as diplomats or who were working on public health policy or other topics that became known as international development rarely focused on the religious world. And that was partly because of the wall of separation, the idea that you had to have a division between the two, but also it had to do with the Cold War. And the fact that in that period, there was a shift in the way people thought about religion. Now, of course, that has changed. And what changed it was, above all, 9/11. In other words, the trauma of the terrorist attacks on the United States, when all of a sudden, religion became much more relevant, albeit in a rather negative way. And even though we always recognize that one needs to see that religion can be a part of the problem, whether it's about violence or patriarchy or other topics like that, but it is also clearly part of the solution because there are so many health facilities, for example, schools that are run by religious institutions, but it's also so important to people. It's central to their lives, to their relationships. Religious institutions are more trusted in the data than pretty much any other institution. So when we look, for example, at the COVID crisis, if we ignore the religious world, we're missing a huge piece of the reality for people, the institutional structure, and the potential to do good.
What are the barriers then to development that you see as a result of religious conflict or religion in general?
Well, let me at least start with two, because it's a very good question you're asking, but also a very complicated one. The first one is that when societies change and modernize, one of the things that happens is that they're much more plural societies. So there's much more diversity. Through most of history, people didn't choose their religion. They were born with it, or the king decided whether they were Protestant or Catholic or Muslim. But in the modern world, you have a much more fluid plural society. And that means that people need to learn to live with each other. And that poses a lot of potential tensions, including brutal wars. So in many ways, this attitudes towards religion in Europe particularly were very shaped by the bitter wars, as well as the Crusades and so many other parts of history. So that is important, and it's important for people who are interested in supporting poor countries and ending poverty, or responding to an earthquake or responding to a disaster. The second, which is very much in focus, is that many religious traditions, and I want to be very clear, not all, but many religious traditions have strong elements of patriarchy. In other words, they're very dominated by men. And one of the things that people have learned in international development is that one of the best investments you can possibly make is investing in girls' education and in women's equality. And for a number of religious traditions, that still is a bridge too far. And so there are still some tensions around the roles of women. And clearly they go into women being ordained for the priesthood, but also broader attitudes towards women, whether they're welcome in leadership positions. And we're dealing, sadly, with far too many issues around sexual harassment and abuse, and sadly, within religious institutions that reflect these ancient habits. So I would not say that the development world, development institutions, have lived the values that they profess about women's equality. I think we still have, as a society, even in the United States, but in many parts of the world, a long way to go to translate that into reality. But I think many religious institutions still are facing some existential basic issues about how they think men and women relate and what that means in a modern setting.
In your experience, especially working with groups that are trying to implement and further development around the world, is there conflict in different religious groups working together for the same humanitarian goal? Or do you find that they work together?
There's an enormous amount of cooperation, and there is a very complex interreligious or interfaith, some people call it an interworldview movement with different institutions. They vary a lot from something really at a community level where people get together to these big global organizations. Religions for Peace is a global institution based in New York, but it has 92 interreligious councils all over the world. And they work, as you can tell from the name, the first objective has been to work for peace. And that's both to address religiously linked conflicts, but also to bring the teachings of different religious traditions together to bring harmony and peace where there's tension. So that's the positive side, that there is this sense that if there's one thing that people share in common, it's a desire for peace and security. Now, there are also a lot of conflicts that at least have something to do with religion. Now, just to give you an example, I've worked quite a bit on Nigeria, and I have been on several panels and events where you will have one person talking about how the problem for Nigeria is the tension between Muslims and Christians, because it's a huge country that's roughly divided half and half. And on the same panel, you will have someone else saying it has absolutely nothing to do with religion. So, for example, in Nigeria, you have a very classic problem, which is very familiar to Americans, which is the tension between pastoralists with their animals, their cattle, and farmers who are settled because the cattle come in and destroy the crops and people get angry, and there are all kinds of tensions around that. That is clearly a problem. Now, in Nigeria, just to complicate it, a lot of the herders are Muslim, and a lot of the farmers are Christian in certain parts of the country. And so the question becomes, why is there so much conflict and so much tension now? Is it really about the land, or does it even have to do with climate change? Because with climate changing, the animals are coming further south. So you get a picture of the complexity. But meanwhile, people are looking to the religious traditions and what they teach to try to stop people killing each other and to make peace.
Looking at the religious text from thousands of years ago to apply it to today?
It works in many settings, and it works on trying to help people to feel compassion for others. We're even looking at that in the COVID crisis now, that people who didn't believe that COVID was relevant for them, when people use certain texts, both to remind people of that plagues are an ancient problem, but also to advocate something like washing your hands or protecting others, translating public health messages into religious language can be very important and very powerful. And one of the ways that people describe it is your origin story. In other words, why do people think they're here? What is the teaching? And in some communities, some societies, the stories people are told as children really shape the way that they understand something new that happens.
Is there a project that you're working on now that you feel is pretty indicative of the kind of work that you do?
The most logical way in which the development world and the religious worlds have come together is on public health. And that is partly because, particularly in the Christian tradition, the healing role of Jesus is very important. But it's also led to huge hospital networks. A lot of the hospital network in the United States was founded by the Catholic Church or by other religious traditions. I think what really opened people's minds, and to a large extent opened their hearts, was the HIV/AIDS crisis, where in the early years of the crisis, there were many religious leaders who were horrified by the homosexual dimension of the disease, which was in the United States most visible and pronounced in gay communities. But in other parts of the world, it was not, but it was associated with sin and sexuality. And at the same time that you had people saying, no, if you've died of AIDS, we won't bury you in the churchyard, you had these remarkably compassionate communities caring for people who were suffering and dying. So in many ways, the two came together in a new understanding of both within religious traditions of the complexity of the disease. So it's mostly women more women are affected in Africa, particularly than men. But it also opened the eyes of the secular, the non-religious community, to the roles that religious institutions were playing, whether it was caring for orphans or caring for the sick, and also advocating for drugs at affordable prices so that people could live. I did a lot of work in the beginning on HIV/AIDS, and then when the Ebola epidemic in West Africa happened 2014-15, we were aware of the major roles of religious institutions. For example, the way in which bodies were buried had a tremendous effect. People were so horrified by their loved ones being buried by people in spacesuits that they dug them up to give them a proper burial, and that led to the spread of the disease. So there was, again, an awareness of the importance of the religious beliefs, but also the leaders who could communicate and who people trusted. So all of that made a huge difference. So as soon as the COVID crisis began last March 2020, or even before, a small group of us who'd worked a lot on these issues, on AIDS and on Ebola and on malaria and tuberculosis, we said we really want to see what's going to happen with the COVID crisis. We had no idea how long it would last. We had no idea that it would be such a deep global crisis, but we started, and a lot of the time that I spend is working on the COVID at this point. Another issue that is part of what we're trying to do is, as we started in this conversation, many people who are making policy at national level, but in the United Nations and even at the state level, don't necessarily reflect very much on the religious dimensions. They don't hear what they say, they don't listen. So this question of being at the right table, having religious leaders, whether it's negotiating a peace settlement or dealing with COVID or dealing with sex trafficking or any of the other issues that we're concerned about. So one of the things we want is to see these voices represented in constructive, professional, thoughtful ways that essentially for me is dealing with the world's most vulnerable people, the people who are suffering, the people who are at the end of the road on the margins. And so one way we're working on that is through something called the G20, the Group of 20, which is the most powerful and richest countries in the world, which meet once a year. The heads of state meet once a year, but there are other institutions around it. And so I'm involved in the G20 Interfaith Forum, which is trying to bring the best of religious thinking and commitment to this cause of ending poverty and hunger and suffering, bringing that to the G20 meetings through the G20 Interfaith Forum. So those are two of the projects that I'm working on. I also have an overdue paper about the role of religious institutions in extractive industries, because a lot of groups have lobbied against some of the less attractive sides of mining, as well as forestry, for example, cutting down the Amazon, et cetera. So that's an issue where you have the religious advocacy that's linked to environmental protection, climate, but also people's welfare.